You're listening to the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast hosted by Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, and Brad Tarver.
All right, it's Saturday night. We have a guest host tonight. We have Ryan Lewis on board with us. It's usually Jim and Brian and myself, and tonight Brian is visiting family in Cincinnati, so we've got another guy on board. Say hello, Ryan.
Happy to be here.
Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy?
So it's been a typical sort of news, Apple news-ish week. We have some exciting things and some not so exciting things. The AirPods have finally dropped, and we finally have had enough time to check them out. Both Brian and Jim have a pair. Since Brian's not here, he can't really talk about his experience. He did say that he's excited about how the range on them is awesome. He can leave his phone in his house and walk all the way out to his mailbox and continue to hear whatever music or whatever is going on in his ears. I don't really know how far that distance is, but let's talk about you, Jim. Let's talk about your experience.
So the AirPods are the most amazing thing I've bought from Apple in a long time. I'm not going to say they've went and redeemed themselves with all the other trouble I've had lately, but they're pretty damn sharp. They just stay in your ear. They sound great. They're super light. They're super small. The range I've seen has been amazing as far as, you know, my apartment. I was at my desk this week at work and started to walk out and walk toward the cafeteria and forgot I was even listening to music from my Mac instead of my phone. And I got halfway to the cafeteria on the first floor and then the music just stopped and I realized, oh, wow. I mean, that was a long way that I was from my laptop and it before it cut off. The pairing process is seamless. You open them for the first time, you pair with one device and every other Apple device you have just knows that you have them and it easily switches from device to device without any problems at all, which is one of the issues that I have with my Sony Bluetooth that I use on the airplane. But yeah, just as a whole, I've really loved them. I've had numerous people ask me about them. When they see them in my ears, you know, they're like, you know, what's that? Or, oh, that's the new Apples, you know, tell me about them. I've really enjoyed them. So far, so good. Well worth what I paid for them. I did pay a little bit of a premium since I couldn't get them from the Apple store. I bought them off Craigslist. I'm very pleased with my purchase. So no issues there whatsoever.
So what happens when you're walking around downtown Dallas and you get AirPod jacked, I guess?
AirPod jacked. You know, I guess they would have to, they're so tiny. I mean, if they tried to steal them and they fell out, then they would have to find them on the ground too. I mean, I actually think they would be pretty hard to steal. And if they don't get the little case that goes with them, then they don't do you a whole lot of good.
Oh, right.
They can't charge
them. Right.
Right. I mean, they're not secure in my ears such that if I was running or if I was bending over or doing a lot of moving around that they would stay in my ear. But just for normal sitting at the office, walking around the apartment, walking around downtown, I haven't had any problems whatsoever with them staying in my ears. And I usually hate Apple pods, you know, their ear pods in my ears. I've never been a user of the Apple ear pods. So that's why I was super surprised.
Well, they don't fit anybody.
Yeah, exactly. They've been great on conference calls. I'm using them for conference calls for work. I haven't had any complaints whatsoever. Everybody says I'm super clear. So I don't think I have any complaints about them at all. I mean, if anything, I wish they were black. I think they would look cooler in black instead of white. They wouldn't stand out. It wouldn't look like I got this big earring in my ear. Because sometimes, like if I just catch myself, it makes it kind of look like, you know, the people that have like the huge gauge earrings in their ear and they kind of stand out. They kind of just, when I see myself, you know, every now and then I just think it's like a, you know, a big earring in my ear when in fact it's an AirPod.
I always think about when you say earring, I think about, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow and the big gold hoop in your ear. So I kind of imagine Jim going, a lot's coming, you know.
No, actually, everything that you just said, I think, were the same complaints, if you want to call them that, about them that I've heard in reviews. Definitely the same complaints I've heard about their regular AirPods. The AirPods don't stay in your ear. And even though these are the same mold, more or less, the fact that they don't have the wire pulling on them, they stay in your ear way better. I mean, it just, they hang in there. There was a guy on YouTube I was watching. He was shaking his head all while every which way. Never threw them. They stayed in there the whole time.
It's like they're just balanced. The weight is like it just sits there. It's like they're sitting on the shelf of your inner ear. They're not pushed in there to where they're wedged in or anything. They just sit there. It's the weirdest thing. The only time I've had issue with them falling out of my ear, I've noticed and just stopped putting them back in, is when I was laying on the floor playing with the dogs and I kind of tilted my head too far to, you know, horizontal and one of them fell out. But other than that, sitting at my desk, walking around the apartment, I sat here for 2 hours earlier today doing some stuff on my laptop, just sitting on the couch, and I had the football game on the TV, but I had the sound muted there and I was listening to music from my laptop, and it's all good. And I've actually been very impressed with the sound too. That it sounds actually pretty good. Just gonna say it for Apple, you know, ear pods, you know, that I don't think the sound was very good on the wired ones. So I mean, they sound pretty good there. They're not sound isolating, so I can have them in my ear and still hear people say something to me at work. And then if you just pull one out, that's the other neatest feature about them. If you pull one out of your ear, it automatically pauses the music. I can talk, do whatever I need to do, talk to somebody, you know, what, 10 minutes later, you put it back in your ear, starts right back up. I've listened to more podcasts this week because it's been so convenient. I'm revisiting some that, you know, I've kind of pushed off, and I've been listening to the news and Wall Street Journal and all the Marketplace podcasts, and they've just been real enjoyable. I'm glad, it, you know, I got something from Apple. You know, I'm such a fanboy, you know, I guess I wouldn't be doing a podcast about it if I wasn't. But, you know, I've just been so critical of a lot of different things lately. So it's really nice to be able to talk about something that I'm so happy with, that I really feel like.
It's nice to have a positive outlook on it.
Right. It's nice to get on here and, you know, say, you know, good job, Apple. It's the first time in a while I think I've done that.
No, I completely agree. And hopefully soon they'll pull the whole old iMac trick where they release all the different colors, at least to match your phones. I mean, I can't imagine them just sticking with the white. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I wonder what's the name of the Colorware, or what's the name of the company that does all the different colors?
Yeah, Colorware.
That's it, Colorware.
I bet they're doing AirPods, or if they're not, they'll be starting up doing them soon to get like a, you know, some sort of powder coat on your AirPods.
On a side note, I wonder if we'll ever see Apple go back to the CRT iMac.
Oh, you know, man.
And the flavors like they used to do, where they had the tangerine and lime and all the grape, all the colors that they used to make for the CRT iMacs.
That's the only reason everybody buys Apple now. I mean, that's what brought them back from near extinction there for a while.
I think that'd be pretty cool with the AirPods if they came out with a bunch of different flavors. It could be what they do for next year, as far as, you know, they don't have to increase the tech very much. If they just come out with some, you know, different color cases and different colored pods, that would be kind of neat.
Well, it kind of also harkens back to the iPod Nanos or the iPod Minis that we had from 10 years ago, where they came in 7 or 8 different colors.
Listening right now, but I have closed ear headphones on here. But yeah, they would probably be great for the podcast. But no, I've got this fancy setup with the microphone and my filter and my big headphones, and we should do like a whole episode in nothing but AirPods. See how it sounds.
It would be like talking to each other in a tunnel, just because of the latency. What's that you said? What I said this. Anyway, to not ruin things, let's move on to the next topic. So we see that the Sonos CEO is stepping down, and he says that the Amazon Echo is eating into their sales. Jim, you were talking about getting some Sonos back pre-Christmas, Black Friday frame of time.
Yeah, so they put them on sale on Black Friday, or at least one or two of the speakers. And then after Black Friday, they actually, the whole month of December, they had discounts on the Sonos speakers through their website and through some other retailers. And I was just never able to pull the trigger. They're so expensive. I've only been able to listen to them like in Best Buy, and it's so hard to get to judge speakers in, you know, a huge Best Buy. And then just reading about it, I want something that works with AirPlay, or at least works with AirPlay without me jump through a bunch of hoops. And to make AirPlay work, you've got to have the soundbar and sub. You can't just have a single speaker. And then you've got to route the soundbar through your Apple TV. I mean, it's a real kludge, if you ask me, the way it's supposed to work. Now, I know it's really not supposed to work that way. They've got their own proprietary Wi-Fi, you know, sync up thing to make all the speakers play together. And I get that, but it was just too expensive for me to put the money into it right now. I just I actually had them in the cart once or twice during the month, and I never pulled the trigger. I just couldn't do it.
Well, to jump in whole hog is a pretty big capital expenditure.
And the fact that they say Amazon Echo is eating into their sales, that just seems weird to me, because they're totally separate product categories. I mean, the Echo,
right?
Even the Echo is the top of the line model, right, with the full speaker,
right?
Correct me. I mean,
7 mics and 2 speakers.
Is that speaker really as good as even like a Sonos One level speaker? I don't think it would be.
I don't really know the specs of the Sonos One, but I mean, it has a single tweeter type speaker and then a single sort of bass speaker. So it's still not stereo. I mean, you can't do stereo through a bass speaker and a treble speaker. And you've got this one little thing, like mine's in my kitchen. So you've got this thing in your kitchen that's sort of just in the corner. You don't really think about it needing to be in stereo. But, you know, if you had 2 of them in the room, you would appreciate some stereo. You know, I think you need to have 2 Sonos to pull off the stereo sort of phasing, if you will.
I mean, for me, getting the Sonos is about it sounding really, really good and because I listen to music so much in my house. It's not about it being a smart speaker or a smart device like the Echo is.
It's high quality speaker components.
Right. So, I mean, I guess that's just from my point of view, what I'm looking for in the speakers. And what he's saying is, you know, what other people look for, they're more interested in the smarts of having an Echo speaker than the smarts of what the Sonos does, you know, through their proprietary player. So I kind of thought that they would have been good if they could get bought out by, I mean, Amazon would be nice, or Apple, if they could get some integration there with everything, then, you know, maybe it's something that made me jump. Because if they went to Apple, then they'd most surely have AirPlay more built into their ecosystem. Or if they go to Amazon, then I think that, you know, the smarts built into the speaker, you know, might be something that, you know, could push you over the top on a purchase. The combination of either way.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, does Sonos even have an AI? They don't, right? It's just speakers, right?
No, they're just speakers, but they have a Wi-Fi app, the app that you install on your phone or iPad or laptop or whatever device, and it allows you to stream from whatever that device is to the speaker over Wi-Fi, and it syncs them all up. So you could have Sonos all over your house and play different music in every room or the same music in every room, and it syncs it all up.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I've always thought it was, but it's interesting to me. I mean, they're just not the same product. Sonos and the Amazon Echo are not the same product. And over the holidays,
exactly, yeah,
the Echo Dot, I think, was the big gift, the big thing to get everybody you didn't know what to get them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Best Buy was selling them. Bed Bath & Beyond was selling them. They were everywhere. And they were sold out everywhere. You couldn't get them on Amazon either. So it was crazy. How that's eaten into Sonos, I don't understand. I mean, it's just a completely different thing.
The thing from CES from last week said that everything has Alexa built into it now. That Alexa won CES without actually them showing anything new, because everybody's integrating it into their devices. So Amazon's definitely doing something right here. I may be like the only gadgety, nerdy person in the world that doesn't own one. So I guess I haven't
pulled the trigger.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about the Google Home or whatever it's called. You know, I'm a big Android boy. So, well, I got my Android. I love my Android phone, and I love my MacBook Pro and my iPad Pro. But once I switched from iPhone to Android, I haven't gone back. However, the Alexa, I mean, all I've heard, or at least through the media, the horror stories of, you know, I've got 6 boys. There's no telling what would be showing up at my house, you know?
Hey, Alexa, send Legos.
We'll be ordering all sorts of stuff.
Then Alexa worked. If it shows up in 2 days, then Alexa worked. Amazon's banking on that.
Right. All Ryland needs to do is walk through the room. I have an autistic 17-year-old and say, I want Lots and Lots of Trucks movie, you know? If it shows up in 2 days, it's not going to work. Yeah, too well. Too well. I mean, yeah, you've seen the horror stories of the 6-year-old girls with dollhouses showing up to their house and all that kind of fun stuff. Or ordering the wrong adult toy because it doesn't understand what the kid is saying, that type of thing.
I have one of those little Amazon button devices. What do they call those things? Where you can hit the button and reorder things. And I have a couple of those around the house, and I don't think I've ever used one. Yeah, but that's the one I have. Is like there's like it's stuck right by the toilet, just as kind of a joke. So if I run out of toilet paper, I'm going to be there for 2 days until some comes in because I hit the button.
The UPS guy still has to be able to get into your apartment to bring it to your bathroom door.
Right, exactly. You know, it was kind of a joke, but the only reason I did it is because if you bought it, then you got $5 off the order of the item, so it was free. So that was the reason I got it.
No, it's a cool thing. I mean, it when you're thinking about something and you look over and see it, I mean, that's pretty cool that you can just hit the button and it orders it for you. I mean, because and toilet paper is a great example. Tide Pods are a really great example. I mean, those aren't things I'm constantly thinking about. And so if I'm running low and I go, oh crap, no pun intended, but it worked out pretty good. You hit the Charmin button.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I think I have it for TP. I have it for paper towels. And I think I got one for like Slim Jims or something stupid where, it's like I can order like a box of Slim Jims and I hit the button when I run out. Something like that. I don't know.
That's
they were running
great.
Some special sale. And, I'm an Amazon slut. So
I feel like it's definitely something that's made for the ADD generation, simply because your phone may be in your kitchen on the kitchen counter. You're in the laundry room. I need more Tide Pods. You can just hit the button. Whereas if you didn't have the button, you would have to remember once you walk through your threshold of your door, because that's where people usually forget things, is walking through a threshold. Why did I come in here? I'd forget.
Right. What did I walk into this room for? Right.
So you would walk into the kitchen and you'd say, I needed to add something to my grocery list, but now I can't remember what it is. Like I said, it's the perfect thing for the ADD generation, which is pretty much us and anyone younger.
Oh, yeah, no. Of course, me. I mean, I leak ADD. So I think that's one of the greatest things in the world. I mean, they should have like a programmable one where I could just order the next model on my model Amazon wish list because I've completed building, the last one I've ordered. Yeah.
I saw that on Twitter today. It was on the Stuff White Folks Like Twitter account. It was having ADD. That was on their Twitter account today. I thought that was pretty funny. I faved that one.
Oh, my dad called me to tell me that he heard somewhere that the smell of cedar increases your focus and concentration. And he thought that would be great. I needed to get some cedar oil, an infuser, and
a helmet. You need a cedar helmet and just wear it all the time.
My boss would love that.
Everybody around you would, so they wouldn't have to smell you. They could just smell the cedar.
There you go.
So there's been some rumors about Apple possibly releasing a 10-inch, 10.5-inch sort of middle ground iPad Pro, middle-sized iPad Pro, but it's supposed to have the same pixel density as the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. What do y'all guys think about that?
I love my iPad Pro. I think if it was any bigger, it'd be way too big. I love my iPad Air 2. I think it's great for reading comics and doing all the littler stuff. I'm a graphic designer by trade, so I draw a lot, and I do illustration also, so that's what I bought the iPad Pro 4 with the pencil, and it's fantastic. And I've never been able to do that on the Air 2 as well. It's just too small. A mid-range, so now you're talking about a 10-inch that would be in between the Air and the, well, I guess I still call it the Air, even though there is an iPad Pro that size now. You're talking about four sizes of iPads. I mean, I feel like you could kill off the original iPad line at this point if you're going to increase the size of it. Or, I don't know, I think four is too many. But because there's not enough of people buying them, it seems like, to support, don't know what the word I want to say is.
The market segments just aren't, it's not segmented enough to do that. And I can just hear,
that's kind
I can
of fair,
hear the,
right.
the, you know, the Apple crowd, saying, we've got four sizes of iPads, yet we haven't had a new MacBook Pro in 3 years, or Mac Pro, sorry.
Yeah,
in
right.
3 years. Like, what the hell are you doing, Apple, that, we need four iPads? I honestly didn't even know they still made the iPad mini, so I guess they do. So we've got the mini, and then you've got the iPad, and then the same size iPad Pro. And then if they throw this one in the middle, the way I've seen it described is slightly bigger than the 9.7 to where it's like a 10.5 with a smaller bezel around it. So the 12.9 is currently the same pixels if you took two 9.7 regular models side by side to one another. So I guess the 10.5 would be the same thing if you did that with two iPad minis side by side. So I don't know. I just don't see the use case here. It seems like you either need the 9.7 iPad Pro.
Right. Pick one.
Or the 10.5 iPad Pro. But why would you... I don't get the need for two unless it's just a scale thing where, hey, we're already building this one. It won't cost us anything to keep making them because we got the factory already set up for it all. So let's just keep doing it, which I think is one of the problems Apple has right now is I think they need to be a little more focused on what they're doing. And this seems like one of those kind of just key screaming at the top of your lungs things where they're saying, hey, we're not that focused like we should be, like we used to be.
Steve Jobs wouldn't do this.
I hate when people say that, but you're so right. I mean, it's just like the iPad is not selling near as well as it once did. And I think one of those reasons is because there's a lot of cheaper tablet devices out there. And also the people who have iPads, they don't ever see the need to upgrade them. They buy one and it works fine for what they need it for. They're going to browse the web. You know, they don't need something.
You can make an iPad last several generations.
Exactly.
Versus the phones. The phones don't seem to last as long, but the iPads do. I mean, I know people that still use the iPad, the 2, before the new iPad, the iPad 3. And then the iPad mini came along, and it's basically killed off the iPod, you know, like the iPod touches, you know, and that's what my kids have always used, you know, because they beg for phones. And, you know, like I said, six boys can't afford six phones, so they get iPods. And now I think they're done. So I understand the need for the iPad mini. I understand the need for a regular size iPad because the iPad Pro is huge. It's too big for a lot of people. But a fourth size, it just seems, I don't know, too much, gratuitous.
I still have people, even though the iPad Pro has been out for at least a year now or right at a year. Are we
close? It's September 15, I think is when it came out.
So I still run into people on it. I fly, you know, twice a week in and out. I still end up with people beside me on a plane when I pull my iPad Pro out to do something. They're like, holy
right?
Cow,
yeah,
what is that?
No,
still
yeah.
To this day. And it's been out over a year. And I still get people, you know, saying, whoa, what is that? I'm like, it's an iPad. It's an iPad Pro. You know, and they don't even know it exists. It's just a sign to me that somebody's not focusing at Apple that they four iPads just seems ridiculous. I mean, we've only got three phones. The phone is much more important than the iPad.
Whoever came up with the idea of the new iPad needs to move over to the Sierra team and work on Sierra with all their Bluetooth problems that we've been seeing in the last sub-release from 10.12.1 to 10.12.2.
Hey, we're not supposed to let you talk about that very much.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started. I've got a $3,500 brand new laptop that I can't even keep a keyboard and mouse connected to. I know, I told y'all before we started that if you get me complaining about this laptop, it's a gorgeous laptop, but man, it's just been, I mean, this is my second one. So the first one I went through and had keys that were sticking and problems and I returned it. This one, hopefully it's just a software issue with the Bluetooth.
We hope it's just software.
Yeah, I hope so too. I just got my whole department requisitioned with the new MacBook Pros, so don't start making me regret that.
Well, there's the touch bar is still, you know, the whatever the I haven't made my decisions on the touch bar yet. It's really more gimmicky than useful at this point.
It's gimmicky, but I'm excited to see if Adobe embraces it, what they do with it. And once they do that, I feel like that drives an industry. I mean,
it'll take off.
That's true. I think you'll have more uses for it. I write code and spend time in Word writing, you know, deliverable documents and things. So I don't necessarily need what's up there as much. My key complaint is that somehow where my left hand ends up sitting on the keyboard, my fingers touch the escape key or sit on the escape key. And I've just had to start trying to watch myself, and I still can't get out of the habit to where I'll start doing something and I'll click on a window and it opens and it closes and it opens and it closes. And I realize my left hand is sitting on the escape key to where as soon as it opens, I'm already pressing escape, it immediately closes. So
now it's all programmable, right? Can't you set something to maybe, well, I guess you don't want to turn your escape key off because you do need it on occasion.
Right. So the Siri button on the far right-hand side, I was doing the same thing, and I kept clicking Siri. So I was able to finally go in, and I Googled it and could remove Siri from the bar by default because I don't really use Siri on my Mac.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Am I the only one who doesn't need Siri on my computer? I just don't. I have it on my phone. I have it on my iPad. Or I have, you know, I don't need it on my PC, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't see any need for it on my computer like I do on my phone, so.
But I don't use all Apple-inclusive apps either. And I see, you know, when they show off the MacBook Pro and everybody's wowed at the, you know, Macworld or developers conference or whatever they unveil the new things at. They're using apps I don't use on a daily basis. I don't, you know, I work at a big corporate office, so we use Outlook. I don't get to use Apple Mail. It's not as friendly with all my Windows counterparts, I guess. So I don't get to use a lot of the, I don't use Apple Photos, the whole photo gallery on my MacBook, because it's not a personal computer, you know, it's my work computer. So Siri is one more of those things that just kind of sits by the side and doesn't get used. Right now I can turn it off, but like you said, I guess I can research it once we get the new Macs and figure out how to turn it off there too. I just don't need Siri on my work computer.
You know, I think that's part of the magic of the Touch Bar is that it's, you know, they're soft keys. It'll be programmable.
Oh no, that's definitely the neat idea behind it. I'd love to set up some macros for these things, and if that's still a word in this day and age. But yeah, I mean, that's the whole fun thing about the Touch Bar is I can set it up to do whatever it is I want to do. Exporting images just by clicking one spot on this bar will be great, I think.
So for me, I mean, I sit right now, I'm in a big room where a bunch of consultants are sitting at tables, and I just can't sit and talk to my computer and give it commands. It's just, you know, it's not necessarily rude.
Right.
It's just weird talking. You know, people don't talk to their, people don't generally use Siri in that kind of environment either on their phones. So why would I want to do it with my laptop? And I think there's even less that I would want to do with Siri on my laptop versus my phone. Most of the time when I use Siri on my phone, it's because my phone's not in my hand. It's somewhere away from me, you know, in the room where I asked it to do something or something like that. Whereas if I'm on my laptop, I'm generally going to be in front of my laptop doing something. So
right, exactly.
Maybe useful for some people, but it's not how I use my Mac.
We kind of kicked around a few months ago talking about how we have these streaming services doing their own content. Obviously, the first one that comes to your mind is Netflix, and we kind of thought, well, would Apple do that? I mean, they have their own exclusive deals with Disney and other content houses, and now we see that they're rumored to be creating their own original television shows, like in comparison, Westworld to HBO or Stranger Things to Netflix. I think it's pretty interesting just because it'll kind of help them maybe steer other people off of other streaming services, you know, if they're trying to generate another subscription model, sort of like Apple Music, they'll have some sort of Apple TV subscription service. What do y'all think?
It needs to contain everything then. I mean, if they're going to have their own TV shows, and I say this about everything, and I may have said it to you guys before too, I don't have a single media center product, and I think I have almost all of them, that can reach every platform. Like with Apple, you can't get to Amazon. And with the other ones, you can't get to whatever it is. Like even my Raspberry Pi running Kodi, I can't get to Netflix. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. I love the idea of all these streaming apps or whatever you want to call them, creating their own media and their own TV shows. But now, you know, so like if Apple does it again, I mean, if Apple does it too, okay, so that's another fee. And now we're turning it into, so I've got to pick and choose. Hulu's got their own stuff. Amazon's got their own stuff. I've got HBO, so they've got their own stuff. Netflix has their own stuff. I mean, it's so I'm basically back up to a full-fledged cable bill, and the whole idea was for me to cut the cord.
Right. It's so easy to end up with a bunch of different services, and we've covered this a bunch of times with our, you know, 1%er music club and 1%er DirecTV clubs and all that kind of thing. You know, I turned off my Hulu when I subscribed to DirecTV, and not a month later I realized DirecTV is neat and I like having it for some things, but I really missed my Hulu, so I turned the Hulu back on. So now again I'm paying for Hulu and I have this streaming DirecTV, and you know, I also have my Netflix. As far as Apple doing their own thing, again, it seems like it's just not an Apple-y thing to be doing. I don't know. They're a hardware company. They make great hardware and they make software that's great that works on their hardware, or at least they used to. Now they're having problems with their software, at least as far as I'm concerned. They make hardware. I mean, the Apple TV is a very neat device. I think what they're doing with the built-in TV stuff is very nice for you to be able to access a bunch of different things. They're trying to make it easier for you to have all these different stations that have integrated security, so you don't have to type in passwords and go to some website and tell it you own an Apple TV and type in a 6-digit code and then hope to God that everything works together and all of a sudden, you know, your stuff starts streaming on your TV. They're trying to fix those kind of problems. If this original content is just something that's going to come with an Apple Music subscription, or it'll be, you know, an add-on where it's music and video. I recently watched the little mini documentary on the 808 synthesizer, the Roland 808 that was on Apple Music.
Very, very good documentary, by the way.
It was really amazing. And I think, you know, if they're going to do stuff like that, I'm all for it. As far as, you know, scripted television series, to me, it just doesn't seem like the Apple kind of thing to do. I think they're in a much better position as a hardware company that makes the, you know, the phones and the tablets and the Macs and the Apple TV, to bargain with people who are already making content to get it onto their hardware. They have the eyes of so many users who actually spend money on content. I mean, I think that's one of the key things is, you know, people who own Apple products, and maybe, you know, the phone is one thing because it's so ubiquitous, but, you know, people who own Macs and who own iPads and, you know, I mean, there are people who generally spend money on things, and so they'll spend money on content. So it seems to me like Apple has leverage with those kind of services to where they wouldn't need to come up with their own original content. That's me.
And I mean, maybe even partner with somebody. I mean, I could see them like getting behind a show, you know, let's pretend Westworld, with HBO, and, you know, saying this is an Apple exclusive through HBO Now or something like that. I mean, that'd be kind of cool. And that would be something that would drive people to use their services. I don't know. I hate the idea of constantly adding one more vendor to my increasingly long list of monthly subscriptions.
You say that, and at the same time, you know, I was probably spending close to $150 before I cut the cord on both my cable subscription and having Netflix on top of that. And now I have Hulu, Netflix, and a few others, and I'm probably looking at $70 or $80 a month. Granted, that's not the $150 I was paying before, but I still feel like in my heart, I'm not paying as much as I was, but I'm getting as much content as I want, probably more than I need, but I'm at least getting everything that I want to see on my TV screen.
It's funny, but when you're paying $10 or $15 for 4 or 5 different things, it seems cheaper than paying $100 for one. You know, it just like it just seems like it's not as much, which, I mean, it's all psychology, I know. You know, I've added and dropped and added and dropped, and I think I've got a good setup going now.
Well, that's easy to do with those internet-based subscription services too, whereas you can't just call up Comcast every other month and decide, I want to cut it off. I want it back.
Right, there is no contract.
Very good point. Very good point. Very good. And so with the people, you know, the vendors that have their own original content, you can turn it off. You can keep HBO for 4 months during Game of Thrones season. It's almost like sports seasons. Like, you know, I want this service so I can watch the NFL for these 4 months.
It's like having Sunday Ticket or something. It's just only applicable for 4 months.
Right. So I'm going to have HBO during Game of Thrones, and then I'm going to turn it off, and then I'm going to turn Netflix back on when they're doing, you know, something. I just watched The Crown on Netflix. I watched it over 2 to 3 days. I was like, I just kind of picked it. I didn't know a whole lot about it. It looked interesting. It's one of the best things I've watched on any streaming service in a very long time. It was an amazing 10 hours of television. I could sit and watch another 10 hours of it every weekend for the next 3 months. Supposedly they're going to do like 6 seasons for this, for the whole lifetime of the Queen. I just found it fascinating. It was well acted. The costuming and scenery and everything was so good. Just watching one show like that makes what Netflix cost, it a drop in the buck. I mean, it's that good. As far as Apple doing their own thing, I mean, Apple's just rolling in the dough. They could just buy something.
That's a very good point.
Netflix is not going anywhere as far as my subscriptions go. Netflix is safe. HBO is safe. Hulu, I go back and forth about, but ultimately never cancel it. Everybody else is up for grabs. Amazon Prime, of course, their stuff comes with the Prime account, which I can't live without. So that's safe just by default. But I mean, they'd have to come with some pretty strong offerings right off the bat to get me to sign up and to stay signed up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it has to be something that they bundle with music. The Apple Music, which, I'm definitely going to keep paying for,
Spotify. I love Spotify.
Yeah. I realize Spotify is as good or, better than Apple Music. But for me, it's just about the being built into the ecosystem. And so I wasn't as deep into Spotify by the time Apple Music come out that a lot of people, I was a late to the game for music subscription services. It was more of a, buying music and things like that. And so I was late to Spotify, to where I wasn't so married to it that by the time Apple Music come out, I switched. But I can definitely see where if you were a longtime Spotify user, you'd have definitely stuck there. Because there are certain playlists that I used to listen to and subscribe to on Spotify that I miss now because they were so good. The people that updated them, they really kept them up. That was the aspect of Spotify that I liked. So,
and even their generated playlists now, they have, as of 2017, as far as the new year started, I got a playlist based on what I listened to last year. And of course, it's all my favorite songs. So it's great. And everybody gets that. So, as far as it being just an automatically generated playlist based on what you like and based on how often you listen to things, that's pretty rad.
So Jim has had some sort of cable identity problems recently, and that's not innuendo. He thinks that now that Apple is committed to USB-C for their MacBooks, that maybe the iPhones should now be USB-C. But there's been reports of USB-C frying computers or frying other devices along the way. And, there was a whole licensing thing about why Apple went with Lightning in the first place. It was to sort of keep you from getting a, quote, crappy cable from the gas station. And yes, you think, well, Apple's just trying to get all of our money. But at the same time, they're trying to make sure there's a certain watermark that everybody is meeting for the cable quality. But I see where you're coming from on this, Jim. Is maybe we'll see, maybe not see the USB-C on the next generation iPhone.
I don't think it's coming. I honestly don't. I think if anything, if we're going to get it anywhere, it would be like on an iPad Pro. You might get it because the iPad Pro can actually charge, faster and take that higher current charge right now.
It's 29 watts.
Yeah, and I actually have the bigger block, the 27 watt that comes with the smaller MacBook that I charge my iPad Pro with, and it charges it a lot faster. And even this week, I charged my iPad Pro with my MacBook Pro block, like the 87 watt, 29 watts. Well, the 87 watt adapter for my 15-inch MacBook Pro, I actually plugged the Lightning USB-C cable into that and charged my iPad Pro from that this week, and it seemed to work really fast. I mentioned it to Brian, and he said he had saw reports where the 29 watt actually charged it faster just because it was more optimized for it. But for me, that was convenient. So I have that one lightning USB-C.
Meanwhile, all of your seats and furniture on fire because you've got this hot metal device burning up all of your furniture.
Yeah, USB-C turns every device into a Galaxy Note, so I don't know.
Well, it needs its own. Its block is different than the other iPad blocks.
No, it just seems weird that at this point in the game, they put four USB-C ports on the new MacBook Pros. They had to know that they were going to do this for a while. I mean, it's not something that just happened.
Well, you've had micro USB for 15 years now on anything that's not Apple.
I just think, I mean, they probably didn't know it when Lightning came out. And Apple's never been one to use a standard connector on their phones. I mean, we had the 30-pin, and then they went to Lightning. And they're the only people that have that. I mean, you're not going to get that on any other phone, either one.
Interesting.
Yeah, micro USB is evil. It's the devil. You've got to study the damn plug to figure out which way it goes. And even if you guess wrong, sometimes you could shove that thing in there the wrong way. I mean, I think micro USB is just evil. It's awful. I can't blame them. And knowing's half the battle. We used to get from Apple. It's just one of these things that's happened, and it seems like
right.
They've just gotten so big and are moving so many different pieces that sometimes things like this get overlooked, you know. And ridiculousness is this: you can go buy a top of the line MacBook Pro at the Apple Store, and you can buy an iPhone 7 at an Apple Store. Open them both up, right standing there, and you can't plug that phone into their Mac without having some sort of adapter or going to buy another cable. That, to me...
That's the first thing I said.
Probably good why they marked down the dongle to $9.
That right there is just that point is I think that was what I brought up to Brian earlier this week when I was kind of complaining about this, is that shouldn't happen. I don't know how they fix it. I don't know what they need to do, but that it should not be that away. That's yeah, I'm going to stop there.
They shouldn't ship a MacBook Pro without a dongle that goes from Lightning to connector to USB-C. You should always be able to plug an iPad or an iPhone to your MacBook Pro. There's no question about that.
You know, that's a good point. They ship that headphone dongle with the new 7. They should ship the USB-C to USB dongle with the iPad Pro. That's a very good point.
Yeah, they need to. I mean, I bought an extra power adapter for my new MacBook. It didn't even come with a cable. I had to go buy a USB-C cable. It's literally just the power adapter is the only thing in the box. You don't get the thicker AC extension cable in the package.
Really?
And you don't get a USB-C pack in the package. $79. All you get is the power block, which if you don't go buy another cable, is completely useless.
It's an $80 transformer is essentially what it is.
They love to sell an accessory.
Yep. That's the only thing in the box.
And a dongle company.
It's like Apple is like they were a hardware company, and now right. They're becoming an accessory
a dongle-omerate.
Well, I think that gets us for this week, guys. Really glad you were able to make it this week, Ryan. I'm glad you were able to fill in. It was really awesome to have somebody new on the show just for the fun of it. Thanks for filling in.
Oh, happy to be here.
Yeah, it was great to have an old friend join. When we found out this week that Brian couldn't make it, you were mine and Brad were both like, we need to get Ryan on here with us and chat for an hour about whatever's happening. So I'm glad you were able to join us, and hopefully you can fill in again in the future when one of the three of us can't make it.
Oh, no, I love it. I appreciate the invite. Long-time listener, first-time caller. That's great.
Or as we say in the internet world, long-time lurker.
Right, long-time troller.
All right, well, I hope y'all can enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we will see you on the internet next week.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. We can be found on Twitter. I'm at Brian B, that's B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim, that's B-I-G-J-I-M. And Brad is at Meester Idle, that's M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we hope to talk to you next time.